Hello from At The Flicks, and a very happy Easter to all our listeners. Yes, it's time for one of my favourite shows, the latest Carry On streaming. Hi guys, hi Deck, hi Graham.
Hi Jeff.
Hi Jeff.
Right. Now, Easter for me, apart from some great food, is my annual watching The Watership Down, which I think is the perfect film for Easter.
Good grief.
That's just 90 minutes, and I need a lot more than that, or I'm relegated to talking to the family over the holiday period. I would recommend avoiding that. So, we need to talk what I can watch rather than talk to them, Deck. But before we go into that, we've got a good news, bad news scenario. So the good news, you're potentially going to get called Mystic Deck after this, because you were the first person to call out Mr. Bates versus the Post Office. In fact, I'd not even heard of the show until you mentioned it in December. And considering what's happened since, you called this one, right? I mean, what do you think of the show and its impact?
Amazing. I think it's incredible. I think it shows that the power of telly is still there, incredibly. But it also highlights what a complete mess they made of the whole thing. Coming from an IT background, you'll know about software and bugs, and that bit was bad. But then when they did finally realize there was something up, how they dealt with it after that was like, oh my, what are you doing? It was just like, you're just compounding it. It was just horrendous, absolutely horrendous.
That will be taught in colleges. This is how you don't do it, right? They did this, never do that. It's unbelievable. I was talking or texting another IT colleague, and he was going, I can't believe this. What were they on?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
Absolutely crazy.
It was a real Kathy come home moment for television, I think. It really, again, proved the power of television and showed, you know, when they bring up something that really needs to be addressed, it can be quite a powerful medium.
I think what we want now is a show about the PPE scandal starring Toby Jones. That's it. They've had it then.
Game over.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the good news. Although, sadly, it's good news out of a horrific situation. Now the bad news. So, Deck, I give in to all the badgering I was getting, and I watched, or I'm halfway through watching, Mike Flanagan's The Haunting of Hill House. And I'm not impressed. You've got Shirley Jackson's brilliant novel, and of course the 1962 film as well, which is also brilliant. And you've got all this soap opera piled on top of it. I will admit episode 3 did have me jump a little. But that aside, it's like it's sort of EastEnders meets Hill House.
It's what, because of the family element, you mean?
Or... Yeah. And all the ghosts. There are no ghosts in Hill House, you see. In fact, there is an argument to say The Haunting of Hill House is not actually a ghost story at all.
No, and the film does do a very good job of showing that. And the film will always be better. Nothing will ever compete with that. I totally agree with you on that front. But I thought, as you said in episode 3, I thought it scared the heebie-jeebies out of me. And yes, it strayed off the original story slightly, but I thought it worked. I thought you know, if you haven't read the book or seen the original film, I thought as a thing on its own, it worked really well. I thought, as long as you weren't comparing too much, I thought, and I still think it's some of his best work that he's done. I did like all the others. I did like, as I recommended last time, I did like Midnight Mass, which is one I think you'd probably prefer more, Jeff, because of the religious element.
Yeah,
you'd get more out of that.
Yeah, I don't know the subject matter, but I will admit, in episode 3, that bit where the kid gets stuck in the basement and that sort of crawling spirit is coming towards him. You'd love it, Graham.
Oh, no. No comment on this at all. No, this is not for me. Wow.
Right. Anyway, I won't be able to finish off watching it over Easter because I can only watch it when my wife's not in the room. So sadly, as it is, she wusses out on things like that. What can I catch up with over Easter? What have you seen that's worth catching up with before we even know what's on at Easter?
Well, hopefully I've got some excellent recommendations for
you. Oh, excellent.
And I've got a quite an eclectic mix as well, which is hopefully what I do. So I hopefully cover different people's likes and loves. Not everyone likes the same thing. So hopefully I've got a wide breadth. So I'll start with one that's probably not up your street, Jeff, but it's probably definitely up Graham's. He's probably actually seen it. But on Netflix, I caught the excellent animated series Blue Eye Samurai. It was fantastic. It was just beautiful. The sword fights were just incredible. I mean, one of our other colleagues, Darren, must have got so much joy out of watching this, because it's just like the best of martial arts films in a beautiful, colourful, animated story, and a good story as well. Not just action. There's a story. There's someone that you believe in, that you're behind, that you want to succeed, you know, and all the nasty villains and things that they come across, and thoroughly enjoyed it. And I just stumbled upon it, probably because Netflix knows that I like animation, so it popped up on my list. But absolutely, I hadn't heard anything about this before I started watching, and I absolutely loved it. I couldn't put it down. So probably not one for you, Jeff, but a very good series.
What's the basic plot?
I don't want to give too much away, but it's sort of a lonely samurai who has a vendetta and sort of travels the country trying to get their own back, sort of thing. And they have different challenges on the way, and different villains from different regions and clans that they have to sort of battle against. And I don't want to give too many spoilers, but I just thoroughly enjoyed it.
Really, but there's about four or five central characters in this, and you think, oh, well, they've dropped out of the story, and then they pick them up at a later stage, and you go, oh, that's interesting. Then they move back. So it's just a group of people whose stories are all interrelated. It was, to use that expression, exceptional.
Great. Okay.
Well, thanks. This is going to be a theme.
Yeah. Thanks. What have we got for the over fives?
So for the over.
Oh no! This is not for children. This one. Oh
no! It's definitely not. No,
there is some very graphic scenes in it.
There's a lot of decapitation.
Yeah, and there's a lot of very weird and kinky sex.
Yeah,
animated sex.
Yes.
Yeah. So moving on to more grown-up stuff, though. Apple TV is, I think, improving every time. Their series are getting better and better. And you'll hear towards the end of this episode some of the stuff I recommend that's coming up. But one series that I caught on Apple TV that I thoroughly enjoyed was Criminal Record. Now, they've been promoting this quite a bit, so we knew it was coming up. But I think basically it's Peter Capaldi back to his best.
Yes.
After being away from our screens. Okay, he did Doctor Who, but he hasn't done anything sort of meaty and serious for quite a while. And I think this character he plays, this policeman he plays, is so spot on, because he's grumpy, like a lot of police, you know, are portrayed in TV. But he's also got that element of, you don't know if he's bad or good or just moody or actually damn right evil. And you just can't work out, and you're following him, and you're sort of trying to second guess. And it's interesting, because even though he is the sort of character, it's not from his point of view. It's from point of view of a young female detective who sort of bumps into him and is a bit suspicious of him. And you see it sort of from her eyes. So she finds out more about him, and then you find out more about his backstory. And then you get them where they go back in time, and you find out stuff that happened. And you're questioning yourself, and you're sort of asking questions of his character, and it evolves and grows beautifully, I think. And I just thought it was a really enjoyable series. I just thought it had enough. I mean, there's a main crime that it's a historic crime, but there's a main historic crime that feeds through the whole thing, with new crimes obviously taking place that sort of link back, either from people that maybe were involved in the original one or people who were related or something. But I just think Peter Capaldi in a role like this just shows what an excellent actor he is. And that would be my main reason for watching it.
It was really exceptional. I watched it with my wife. It's a good detective story. And we always talk about the unreliable narrator. This is the unreliable observer Is she seeing this slightly? What's going on here? Why is her view slightly a kilter? It was just really well put together. Again, with all Apple stuff, the production values are really high. Great, great police procedural, great mystery. Loved it.
Okay. Well, it's, from the sound of it, I'm a huge fan of Capaldi, so it's one I want to see. Problem is, if I sit down and watch that over Easter, it's something the family would enjoy as well. So they'd have to sit with me. Okay, let's work on and see if I can find something at home and watch on my own. Okay. What's next, Nick?
Oh, you might be able to watch this on your own. I definitely watched it on my own. No one else in my house wanted to watch this, but I'm a lover of Formula One, and I've watched a lot of The Drive to Survive on Netflix. But the only thing about the Netflix series, it does get a bit repetitive. They use the same slow-mo shots and they use the same sort of angles. So I was looking for something a bit more interesting. So I stumbled on Disney Plus, the documentary about Braun GP. This was interviewed, the main narrator and interviewer was Keanu Reeves, who's got an interest in Formula One.
For as long as I can remember, I've had a fascination with racing. And I'm going to share a story that barely seems believable.
Jenson Button crosses the line, takes the checkered flag.
How do you feel? It's really amazing.
And basically, he was going back interviewing all the main engineers, drivers, principals, the owners, everyone involved in the Braun team that only existed for a short period of time. And it was absolutely fantastic. And it was really interesting to hear from the engineers, not just from the drivers. Everyone sees the drivers. But to hear from the back staff, hear from the problems with finances, you know, all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes that you don't tend to find out about. All the other teams getting a bit nasty because they're jealous of the success. So they're trying to find fault in everything and they're trying to penalize, you know, accuse them of cheating, and it's an underdog story, which everyone loves a sport underdog story, don't they? I mean, they're always the ones that everyone remembers, and it is an underdog story, but it is brilliant, and it shows how teamwork and intelligence can overcome everything. And I think it's a really good advert for teamwork in industry anyway, generally, and how a team can pull together. But I thought it was an excellent. It wasn't too much. I can't remember how many episodes. It wasn't that many episodes. It was very short and tight and thoroughly enjoyable. And of course, it was looking back at a time in my life when I was younger and everything like that. And it was just, I was reminiscing as well. But yeah, really good documentary, really interesting. And I think you'd like it even if you weren't into Formula One that much, because as I say, it's sort of about management, teamwork and people pulling together to get a result.
That's excellent. Ooh. No, I definitely want to watch that. And I got a question for you on documentaries, because I'm finding at the moment that Channel 4 are producing some of the most amazing documentary shows out there. I don't know what your view on this compared to streaming channels, because you would have seen a lot more than me, but I've got a couple here that I thought were incredible shows.
So which ones were they then, Jeff?
Well, first, the rise and fall of fat bastard Boris Johnson. Yeah. A four-part series, particularly like Episode 4, The Fall of Boris Johnson, though you wouldn't want to be under that weight when it fell over. It doesn't tell you anything new, but, you know, bring in a lot of key people to get to hear what they had to say. And it just channels through the years, and it ends up really with him leaving Downing Street and Nadine Dorries getting quite upset over the whole thing, which did make me laugh. But no, I thought that was really good. Did you see that?
I didn't. I think probably because I watched the excellent podcast, the excellent podcast. So did it go right back to his university years and how he started out?
Well, before that, growing up as a child.
Okay, because I found the university bit really interesting, and how he his lying and not really knowing the truth and just using his charisma to win over people was started at such a young age, was really interesting. And no, I listened to the really, really, really good podcast on Boris Johnson. So I think I probably had enough to watch it, but I will try and catch it if I can.
Yeah. Did you know he was deaf for some of his childhood years?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's covered in there. And that also might be part of, you know, why he is like he is.
But wasn't it selective deafness? He couldn't hear the screaming of poor people.
That was later on.
And what was the other
maybe
one?
Maybe this as well. This is about between 6 and 8, I believe. So Yes, it was. And the other one was whites only AIDS extremist adventure in Arania with the Afrikaans bastards. And yeah, it sort of was, it's an all white town, and it's different to apartheid. And I think that this has got to be mentioned, in that in apartheid, obviously the white consider themselves supremacists, and they're the black people working for them. Here, there are no black people, so the white people do the work as well. And I thought it was interesting. Everybody wore guns. AIDS, what's his name? Adepian. I might be wrong on that pronunciation. I apologize. Very charismatic British black guy in a wheelchair who went in there and was chatting to them. I think there was only one minor flashpoint, but after that, everything fell apart for them. but there were hints in the show that they are funded by extremist organizations from across the world.
Wow.
Including, they said, people who funded Trump, which I thought was interesting. But I'd like to see more. It's all very well making those accusations, but I want to see proof of that.
Mm.
And they didn't provide it. But to look at that place in modern South Africa is, and knowing what I know about South Africa by having family there, I thought it was quite intriguing. And it's worth an hour of your time, definitely.
Yeah, I'll try and catch that one. I do love a good documentary.
Me too.
Yeah, I do think Channel 4 make good documentaries. I still think BBC make good documentaries as well.
Yeah.
I briefly caught the, it was only three episodes, but I briefly caught the very moving documentary about the space shuttle that fell to Earth.
Yes.
The one that obviously made it out and didn't make it back.
Yeah.
Obviously, everyone's more familiar with the famous Challenger one, but this one was really interesting.
The heat shield separated, didn't it, when it re-entered, I believe.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Some of the tiles had come off. Yeah.
Been damaged on the way up into space. But really, really moving. With lots of interviews of the relatives that were left behind. So
brave people. No shadow of a doubt. Anyway, I've taken you off this tangent onto documentaries, back onto the main road.
So next series I caught was recommended by one of our other viewers, who's been on here before, not for a while now, but a guy called Paul Nicholas. He recommended, when we were in the car together, a series called Kin on BBC, on the iPlayer. It's a Dublin-based crime family. Very much, my wife described it really well, it's very much like a modern-day Peaky Blinders. So if you love the whole Peaky Blinders, you know, we're family, in it together sort of thing, it's very much like that, but set in modern-day sort of drug-fueled Dublin. And it's really interesting cast. So it's got Charlie Fox, you know, the Daredevil guy, in a good role. It's got the excellent Claire Dunn. Now, I don't know if you remember Claire Dunn. She was the... She made that small Irish film herself where she was looking after her daughter, and it was a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
Well worth catching if you haven't. But she's one of the main characters in it, and she's fantastic. And then the old reliable Kieran Hines is in it, playing the sort of evil warlord sort of thing, very to character. But it is a thoroughly enjoyable series. Now, because this was only recommended to me recently, we binged watched series one, but then we were so out of breath at the end of it. We were like, we realized there was a series two that was already out, and we were like, no, we're going to give it a break, because we're going to, it was just like, it was we a whole roller coaster of a thing, and we just said, okay, we'll give it a break, but we've got that to go back to. So I suspect sometime after Easter, when we've recharged, we'll definitely be back watching the second series of that. Yeah, really good series to catch on the iPlayer.
That's sounds like my sort of thing.
Yep.
And then the other thing is, I don't know if you want to talk about it, because we did it in the good news story, but obviously on ITVX, if you haven't watched it, where have you been? But Mr. Bates versus the Post Office, which was definitely one of the best things I watched. So ITVX is still churning out the odd good thing here and there.
Put Toby Jones into everything. So let's have a look at what we got coming up then. What's coming for Easter?
There's some really good stuff coming. Some really good stuff. Some of it's just after Easter. Some of it is out already. And some of it is about to come out. So one that's about to come out And I think you're like this, Jeff and Graham, actually, because of both your interest in music as well, is on BBC iPlayer on the 31st of March, it's This Town. So it's a new Stephen Knight, the guy behind Peaky Blinders, a new series. It's filmed around Birmingham with a young cast, so there's no sort of big names in it. And it's about the rise of ska and two-tone music scene in the 80s. So, of course, the 80s with all the troubles that were going on as well. Yeah. And it's mixed around that. So I gather the plot is based around a group of youngsters forming a band, but it deals with all the social issues in and around Birmingham during the 80s and will have an excellent soundtrack. I can say that without a doubt. So really looking forward to this one. I think it's not one that's been, I suppose This England sort of hinted on it in bits in the past, but it's not a sort of era you see much on television. So it should be really interesting, especially with all the racial tensions that were going on in Birmingham at the time. I should imagine it was going to be very enjoyable.
And Stephen, I like Stephen Knight.
Yeah.
He's done some really good stuff. Yeah.
I also like it when you've got a young cast, because I think it gives a real opportunity for people to shine. And
yes,
you haven't got that big name that, you know, that everyone's looking to. It's an ensemble that are all similar age. And so, yeah, looking forward
to it. It's a bit like Sex Education. We didn't know anybody in that world apart from
Lisa Butterfield and Gillian.
Gillian Anderson was the main.
Gillian Anderson from X-Files. Yeah, they were the only ones we knew, but the rest were just unknowns. Yeah. And where are they now? Well, one's become a doctor.
Just thinking about this scar thing. It's a shame they couldn't. If they could have set it a few years earlier, they could have got disco into that.
We'll count our blessings on that one. Thank you.
Okay, Deck, what's next?
So I mentioned earlier on Apple TV that, you know, they seem to be doing sci-fi. And if you haven't seen it already, I think Graham mentioned it last time, is Silo, which after Graham's recommendation, I have watched. I did enjoy it. I did think there was a bit of a dip in the middle, but I really enjoyed the start and the end of the series. And enough that I will watch if they do make a second series, which I think I understand they have. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed Silo, and I also enjoyed Constellation, which is on at the moment. I haven't quite finished it yet, but again, it's a intellectual sci-fi slash psychological horror, I suppose you could call it, but a brilliant cast again. And that's out at the moment. But the big one that's coming out on the 8th of May is a series called Dark Matter.
Are you happy with your life? Can I show you something that not even the billionaires have access to? The rule not take.
This is probably going to be an excellent production again, because Apple keep knocking it out of the park in production levels. It stars Joel Edgerton and Jennifer Connelly, and it's based on, I mean, Graham would probably be able to know better than me, but it's great, based on apparently one of the best sci-fi novels of the decade, a book by Blake Crouch. But
yes,
everyone who's read the book is really excited about it. I'm looking forward to it mainly because of the I've been really impressed with the last two science fiction series I've seen on Apple. I think the cast looks good, but the fact that it's based on a book, I always think, for me, gives it a thumbs up, because I think if a book's well written, you hope, and it's very difficult to mess up because you've got the basis of a good story, that it's going to be a roaring success.
I hope so. I hope so. That's top of my list as well. Although I'm watching at the minute The Three Body Problem. They've changed everything. So some of the main male characters in the story have become female, and they've shifted it from a lot of it from China to Oxford. And it's doing my head in at the minute. I'm going, hang on, isn't he meant to be? Oh, that was a she in the book. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of head twisting, and I hope they don't do that with the Dark Matter.
I hope you're not going anti-trans there, Graham.
No, it's just if you've read the book and really enjoyed the book, and suddenly you've got, like, there's a part in the book where it all happens to one character, and they've split it over three characters.
That's and I'm okay. going,
why I'd did hate, they do that?
I'd hate to see the show go phobic.
dear Lord.
So,
oh, you can talk. You got your tongue out of your cheek, have you now? Right, okay. Wow.
So what's Dark Matter about then? as you've read the book, Graham, give us a précis of what it is. Is it going to be complicated?
It's very, very hard sci-fi, so I don't know how they're going to do it. They really are taking on a quite a tough old story, but we'll see. I didn't think anybody would do Silo, but they managed to do that.
Yeah, on the subject of Silo, which again, for those that just hear in the title, it's a futuristic film where most of the Earth has been destroyed and people live in a giant silo. Very well acted. But for me, I haven't finished season one yet. I'm getting close to it. I think the production values are off the chart. Yeah. The way that they realized this world to its different levels as well, I think is tremendous.
Yeah,
you should definitely watch
Constellation. The production values on that are through the roof.
That's also on my list. I haven't seen that yet.
I was reading a review from Stephen King, and he was saying it, and I agreed with him. The first two episodes are just like, wow. It's just like, and then it starts to settle down a bit, but it's still excellent. But those first two episodes must be some of the best produced telly in a long time. It's just, yeah, phenomenal.
Is it an alternative universe story?
I don't know because I haven't finished watching it, but it's sort of hinting at that.
Okay.
I haven't finished it, so I don't know. But I'm just at the point where you're thinking, have they just completely lost the plot? Have they just been up in space and gone mad?
Yeah.
So that's the only bit I'm at. So I'm hoping it will sort of make sense. Apparently, people who have finished watching it say it does end quite well, so they haven't messed it up, I understand. So I'll find out when I get there. But yeah, okay. thoroughly enjoying it.
Say no more. So listeners, we have been deliberately light on plot details for those. Take our recommendations and enjoy the ride. Okay, Deck, what we got next?
The next one, again, I'm going basically based on the author of the original book, but on Sky or Now TV on the 2nd of May, The Tattooist of Auschwitz comes out. It's only 6 episodes, and the author, Heather Morris, has written some excellent books. She tends to focus on true stories, amazing true stories of survival during a lot of them are based during World War II. I think one of them was, this one is based in, as you know, a concentration camp. Other ones were based in Asia, I think. But basically she takes what are almost, you almost can't believe they're true. They're so incredible stories that if you didn't know they were true, you'd say, no, that would never happen. This is just, someone's made this up. And again, this is another example of love overcoming everything, basically, in some horrific things. Now, the thing that sets this, not only is it one of Heather Morris's excellent novels, because it's based on true story, but it also stars Harvey Keitel. You almost can't recognise him in the role of one of the main characters. And the music is by Hans Zimmer, which is just going to add another level to it altogether. But it looks incredible. The trailer looks beautiful, if you can call it beautiful, because it's obviously a harrowing subject. But it's an excellent story, an excellent book, and it looks well made. So I've got high hopes for this one.
Yeah, this has gone straight on my list. This is weird, but and terrifying and horrible, but something you need to pay attention to.
Yeah, I also think it's got quite an uplifting heart to it that proves that love can conquer evil. So.
But I also think in this conspiracy-laden times in which we live, these constant references that the Holocaust didn't happen.
Oh, yeah.
We need to be reminded of the horrors of what actually did occur. So, yeah, I welcome shows like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another one that's coming up very soon, starting on the 4th of April, Netflix has decided to go for Ripley.
Tom is one of those people who takes advantage of people. He's taking advantage of Dickie.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Which is another reimagining of the book. And what makes this stand out for me? A number of things. It's shot in black and white and looks absolutely beautiful.
Yes.
And I'm a huge fan of black and white. So that's tick. That's one big tick. It's based on a very good story and a very good book. So that's another one. And another one is, I think, becoming one of the actors of our generation, based on recent films and TV before that. Andrew Scott is playing the lead, and he is phenomenal. He, you know, if you know, let's hope he does live that long. If he lives into his 60s or whatever, people will look back on his career, I'm sure, and think, wow. You know, if you think about it, we're in a time now where a lot of the great actors that we grew up with are getting old or dying off. You know, we hear about them all the time. People go, oh, gosh, I remember him, all those famous films. And Andrew Scott is giving us new life, that you can still have great actors. You can still have actors that carry TV or film, you know, and improve on it by their performance. And he's accompanied by a good cast as well, Johnny Flynn and Dakota Fanning, who, again, I think they're very good. So, yeah.
It's going to be interesting to compare that to the film,
Talented
Mr. Ripley. I think Mangella did an amazing job in that film. And again, good cast there. You know, Matt Damon is Ripley there. And Jude Law was in that as well. But I think, the whole, well, if this works, I'd be interested in seeing him doing filming some of Patricia Highsmith's other Ripley stories, because he's such a dark, dark character.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen a Wim Wenders film, I think from about 1979, 1980, called The American Friend, which is a Ripley story, but slightly changed. And that's very well done. Dennis Hopper plays Ripley in it.
What's that called, Jeff?
The American Friend.
I think it's, the film is excellent, but of course you've got a series here, so you've got more time, you can get deeper with the character, it should add to it, I hope.
And Ripley is such a fascinating character, you know, by all intents and purposes just plain and simply evil, but he's not. There are layers to Ripley that are intriguing. Yeah, I think all of us would like to see a few people killed.
I mean, I always thought he was more of a calculating character. He's really, you know, he thinks things through, and then, but from a twisted viewpoint. And you think, oh, right, okay. And you follow him along, and then you go, oh, hang on a minute. Where's this going? Yeah.
Bit of a hero of mine, really.
Yeah.
right. Okay. Anything else, Deck?
The only thing is, I started on animation, so I'll just finish on animation for people that may be looking for something on Disney Plus. I think Disney Plus has dipped a bit recently. There haven't been any big, there's been superhero stuff, but it's all been a bit, not sure, nothing major. Mm. But I really, it's really good that they've decided to go back to drawn animation. And they've gone back very much to my childhood, and the classic animation of the 90s. And they've, made a new series called X-Men 97.
97, yes.
And, you know, again, I think successful series like Invincible that we've mentioned before on Prime, I think this is feeding into that again. I think it's nostalgic, but it's also introducing a younger generation to X-Men, probably in a build-up to, if they are going to introduce the X-Men into the films and stuff, if Disney are going to do that with Marvel, that... I think it's probably a warm up to that, but there's nothing like good old fashioned animation and the characters that I grew up with being brought back to life again. So yeah, for a bit of sort of, again, feeling young, reliving my childhood, then I'll be watching X-Men 97.
Darren's a huge fan.
Yeah. I can understand that, because he loves that sort of thing. Again, it reminds him of when he was younger as well and stuff. So,
My kids are huge fans because they watched the originals and thought it was fantastic. Yeah. And of course, the other thing is, one of the big bad guys in the original animated series was Mr. Sinister. And I think they're going to use him as a big bad in
you
future.
Imagine going to open a bank account, sign your name, Mr. Sinister. I think not. I think
there would be a clue there, wouldn't it? But
yeah.
Probably be one of those names where you pronounce it differently, don't you? Sinestra or something. Yeah. You probably try and pronounce it differently so they didn't cotton on.
Fantastic. We'll start with the under fives and finish with the under fives. Well, I think that's plenty to keep going. I can mingle with the family, but slide off to watch one of those many shows that you discussed there, Deck. I think that's really good.
That's fantastic.
What about yourselves? What plans have you got for Easter?
Me, I'm off to Transylvania. So hopefully going to have a quick meal with Dracula. But yeah, I'm off to see some castles, maybe some bears.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it should be quite interesting. So hopefully I'll come back in one piece. Won't get mauled by a bear.
It's in Romania, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in Romania. It's an area of Romania.
Yeah.
I found out they don't like to think they're part of Romania, but they are. They sort of, I think they'd quite like to be independent. But yeah, it's very rural. It's very beautiful. Lots of rural villages, mountain tracks and things. So if the weather's kind, we'll hopefully get up into the up high up and look at some of the views. But yeah, just get away, really.
You know, Vlad's looked on as a bit of a hero out there.
He is. Vlad, but have you
Dracula,
seen what he
not
get...
Vlad Putin.
Yeah, yeah, but you see what he did. Vlad Impaler is incredible, really.
Yeah.
And he just so apparently he killed thousands and then just left them all on the stakes for everyone to see, sort of thing.
And he ate his food around them, so that if he's invited you to a meal, don't go.
I am Dracula.
he was just making a point. Yes.
Hey.
Bubble.
As long as he doesn't serve kebabs, that might be a hint.
Oh.
Yeah, the Turks love him. What about yourself, Graham? What are you doing for Easter?
Nothing much, no. We're having a very quiet time at home, and it's my son's birthday, so we'll be going to see him and having some birthday cake and that sort of stuff, yeah.
Excellent. Well, I'm envious. I've just got the family. right, okay. Have a great Easter, guys.
Thank
you very, very much. And for those listening, if you've got any comments on anything we discussed, as always, please let us know. Much appreciated. See you soon, or see you at the flicks. Bye for now.